Good morning, everybody. My name is Jason Clark. Today I'll be talking about There Are No Free iPads, an analysis of survey scams as a business. I'm a PhD student at George Mason University, not too far from here, and this is joint work with my advisor, Dr. Damon McCoy. So first question is, what are survey scams? Some people may have never heard of that specific term, but I think most people in this audience probably have seen. For those that have not, this is what we're essentially referring to. These are usually plastered all over Facebook walls and different social networks. They almost always have the, as the paper, title of the paper implies, have an offer, such as a free gift card, free iPad, Six Flags tickets, all with the promise if you fill out the survey. Through the study, we've dealt with thousands of these survey forms that we actually never once got the intended prize. So it's a total scam. And they're just basically, as I'll describe, trying to get your personal identifiable information, among other things. So just as a quick little background introduction, spam is a profit-fueled enterprise. Everybody here pretty much knows that. And in this particular campaign, as I said before, users are lured to click on these enticing posts, such as free survey scam, free iPads or Costco gift cards and whatnot. And cyber criminals are definitely focusing on Facebook. That's basically the spam data feed that we relied on was a Facebook app, as I'll describe in a few more slides. And again, these links are posted right on, say, a Facebook wall, and they bombard users with surveys, and again, with the idea of collecting personal information and sell it back to the marketers. And this last bullet here just says that Bitly and other automation schemes are put in place to try to hide the real name of the URL. For example, in the wild, we saw URLs literally called freegiftcardsurvey.com and .net, something like that. So sometimes Bitly is used to kind of hide the URL. So I'm going to quickly go over this, just a quick definition of terms for people that may have no idea about this topic. CPA, or cost per action, basically says an ad network pays their affiliates a commission for every survey that a user completes. One of the main purposes of this study was to kind of get an understanding of how everyone gets paid in the whole payment process. Like if, for example, if you spam a link, how do you actually get paid? And we investigated that and found some ways that that sort of thing works. An offer, again, is just the promise of a free gift card or Costco gift card or anything that I mentioned before. And PII is, you know, basically interest to marketer, you know, identify the information that would be of interest to marketers. So we received this MPK spam feed. MPK stands for My Page Keeper, and it was basically 2.2 million Facebook users installing this app. We received this spam feed from a different university. And over 5 months time frame, we crawled 1708 spam URLs. One of the inherent limitations of the study was we really didn't have that much in the way of automation, so a lot of this was manual, interaction. So basically we took the URL and we basically just tried to access the survey scam, see what it looked like, and try to put it into one of these categories here. Categories that we found with the spam feed were survey scams, just basically broken links. Another difficulty with doing this study was that sometimes when we got around to clicking on the spam feed, the link was already dead. Usually they're posted really quickly and then brought down for a number of reasons. We found some false positives, and then we found some other type of scams that were not non-survey. So just to try to make this a little easier to understand the whole process. So we have a spammer here, and they basically spam a survey scam link. For example, this one is a free Best Buy gift card, right? And then we have, in turn, a Facebook user who clicks, oh, I really want to go get a big screen TV, so I'm going to take advantage of this Best Buy gift card. So they click on the link, and actually get redirected to a sponsor. This one was just picked at random CPA lead. It's one of about 30 that we saw in our spam feed. And they basically have this advertiser who, this picture holds the iPads. Like I said in the opening, though, we never received any iPads. And essentially, the money then gets payment goes back from the advertiser to the sponsor and to the spammer. So the question is, how do they track, what offer was clicked and all that kind of stuff? So it turns out here's the URL. This one was called freesamplesandoffers.net, and the CPA lead after the redirection is CPA lead with these random numbers and stuff like that. So if you turns out that embedded in the URL is a pub ID, which is a unique number. In this case, it's 160321. So that's essentially the publisher ID. In the next few slides, I'll show you that we infiltrated or essentially joined these ad networks. And when we did, we received a publisher ID ourselves. So we could kind of do some interesting things with that fact. Gate ID, after some experience, we learned that this is essentially the offer ID. Sometimes it's called off ID or offer ID, but this, they just call it gate ID. I'm not really sure why, which is NDUZ. So in other words, publisher ID is essentially the ID of the spammer, and then the gate ID is the specific offer, in this case, like the Best Buy gift card. So what this chart here might be hard to read is essentially all of the ad networks that we came across, all the way from the top 007 CPA all the way down to Zoosk, which is also a dating site, but also has some nefarious activities with ad networks. And of the URLs that we found, 50% of them were traced back to one of these top four: Among Us, CPA Leads, ClickBanner, and LifeStreet Media. Now, again, one another limitation of studies, we only relied on one spam feed. You know, for future work, we'd like to have multiple spam feeds so we can get a better coverage. And when I say successfully joined, I actually tried to become a publisher and join these ad networks. Some were really easy. You just simply sign up, give them your email address. Sometimes I used fake email addresses. Other times I just gave my real contact information. Other ones, you actually, like, for example, Max Bounty, you had to actually have an interview with them. So I literally talked to them like I was interviewing for a job, and they were asking me all these questions like, why do you want to join us? What are your expertise in ad networking? And honestly, the first one or two times I failed, and so I kind of got an idea of the questions that they were asking. So I learned my lesson. I went to some YouTube videos and went to some underground markets and tried to get a better feel for how to answer these questions. So in turn, I actually did get joined to them, and some other ones, no matter how hard I tried, I could not join. For example, ClickBanner. ClickBanner is based in Greece, so I think just because, you know, from Fairfax, like I said, I think they were just like, why is someone from the States trying to join this small Greek ad network or whatever? So I never could join ClickBanner, but I could join Max Bounty and all the other ones listed here. Okay, so this is what I briefly mentioned before with the fact you can kind of extract the ID and the sponsor from the URL itself. What we tried to do was take all of these URLs that we got, or URIs, I guess, and parse them out. And this is kind of how we did it. So affiliate ID is CD2862. Now, this took a little experience and some troubleshooting. We had this summer some summer intern or research assistants, I guess, helping us to do some automation. And one of the first questions they asked me was like, well, how do you know that CD2862 is the affiliate ID? And it was just more or less trial and error. Similarly, offer ID is 14885. Take another example. Affiliate ID is 1292. This is totally spelled out at AFF_ID. And offer ID is coming up next, 2199. So you can see the fact that we can extract from the URI the affiliate ID and the offer ID. And someone's like, well, who really cares? Well, like I said, the one reason we care is to try to figure out the flow of payment, see who's getting paid and how they're getting paid. They can also use to see what offer IDs are the most effective. But also, we can do something called carbon dating. This is going to be really hard to read, I understand, but maybe I'll post the slides. You can walk through it. So again, we'll take, as a concrete example, Max Bounty. So I essentially infiltrated this, when I say infiltrated, joined this three different times. The first time was on January 30th, 2013, and I received this ID here, 123929. A couple months later, I joined it again and received a second ID. Now, one thing that we learned and it has been proved in other work is this phenomenon called the ID sequential ID allocation theorem, is what we call it. And it's basically the fact that every single time you join these ad networks, it just increases by one. It's not random. So this was shown at some other papers, I think Chris Kanich, for example, when he uncovered this in a paper a couple years back. And so anyway, the point is the ID increases by one every time. So with that, we can do carbon dating, just simple math. So we take our two infiltration dates, and we also take the dates between the first time we joined and the second time we joined, and basically just divide. And when you go all the way through the calculation, you find an approximate carbon date of 10/18/12. We repeat this step using the first and third infiltration date, and using some of the comments we received from the reviewers, we did it a third time to get more coverage. And basically the point of all this is that this just shows that the IDs and dates, there's no like main outliers, and it just shows that it's slightly increasing. And the date is 10/15, let's see. Oh, that should be 2012, sorry. 10/5/12, that was a mistake. And then rate add networks join, basically just showing again that there's no outliers. We have this more explained better in the paper, of course. Another thing I wanted to discuss is this idea of revenue estimation analysis. So the idea here is, people are not getting super rich off of this. There's other scams that can make people, you know, probably multimillionaires. You can see in these two charts, these are some offers, and they're about, you know, $1, $2 for a payout. If you look at the maximum, the highest one you get is about $12. And again, the average and median is between, you know, a couple, you know, 50 cents and $3 or so. So they're not getting super rich. That's just what I wanted to show here. This is just some offer payouts examples from a few of the ad networks that we saw. I just literally, on one date, I just picked the top five. One thing that you'll notice is that they're mostly interested in U.S. Countries, like U.S. offer payouts are higher than non-U.S. offer payouts, so there's an incentive to use U.S. But if you look in the country code, you'll see some other ones like China and Canada and whatnot. This is another slide. This never made it into the paper, but this just was there's no like methodology in place. When I was signing up for these ad networks, I used this fake email account, and this just shows that I was inundated with spam, like basically right from the beginning. I had like 3,000 emails. I see a lot of like Zeus Personal looking for dates. I'm married, so I, you know, not looking for any dates, but I, you know, just kind of got inundated with spam. So that's all this slide was showing. There was no methodology in place. It was just when we signed up for ad networks, we sometimes used faked accounts, and it just blew up. So that meant our information was definitely being broadcasted out to other people. So hopefully no one's offended by these pictures. So another thing that we looked at, again, this never made it into the paper, is this idea of content locking. So another phenomenon that we saw in the spam feed was this idea of if you click on this video, you know, we'll basically, basically if you give us your information, and you'll be able to have the rights to click on this video. And the videos are of like sexual orientation or something like really interesting that you could not see on the nightly news. So in this case, like, you know, 17-year-old girl does this at a public high school, and so maybe you're, you know, a teenager and you're interested in seeing what she does. You click on the video, and fortunately for the teenager, you never get the video. It just basically takes you to a never-ending labyrinth of forms to fill out. Here's another one. People can't watch this, so they try to use like sexual content or something kind of disturbing.
Sure.
So let's see here. I want to talk about this intervention. So what could be done about this? Well, it turns out FTC is already essentially aware. Obey was one of the ad networks that we actually saw. What's interesting is I was able to join them in the beginning of the study back in January, but a few months later, or more recently, I could not join them, so FTC has taken them down. So the idea is to maybe get some pressure, put some economic pressure, hit their pocketbooks or wallets. And so for future work, we wanted to use, try to estimate how much traffic is generated by Facebook spam. But like what I tried to articulate, though, is there's some limitations in the fact that we only had one spam feed. Maybe more collaboration to utilize more in different spam feeds. We have some research assistants working on some automation to help us eliminate some of the manual effort. And we would like to kind of contact these ad networks, the CPA leads of the world, Max Bounty, to see if they are aware that some of their publishers are engaging in abusive advertising. So just real quickly, we presented an empirical study of Facebook spam. 73% of the working spam in our URLs were monetized. The top four were 50% were traced back to these four: Among Us, CPA Lead, ClickBanner, and LiveStreet Media. I didn't mention this before, but our carbon dating results showed that the URLs that we saw in our spam feed were about 9 months. So what does that mean? It basically means that ad networks are not proactively detecting and blocking affiliates. They either that or they don't, simply don't know. So potential point to demonetize this spam ecosystem by intervening at these ad networks that sponsor spam. So this was a grant from NSF. I'd like to thank Harsha and Saza. They were responsible for providing the MPK spam feed to us. And Neha, she basically wrote the Python crawler over many years, and she was super nice to me and basically helped me implement her crawler on Google Chat many long hours until I finally got it working. So if there's any questions, this is my correct email address. It's not supposed to be plural, I guess. Jay Clark's at Mason Live, so please email me or ask me any questions now. Thank you. Sure.
So, I thought maybe we'd try not necessarily like this, or it's easier to find the discussions easier. But so I was trying to understand a couple of things. One is, what is the cost of the victim? What actually happens to them?
They are basically supplying their information. So one of the things that you'll see was my email just inundated with spam, which may not be a big thing.
Yeah,
other times, when you get to Facebook, your wall also gets covered with that. But you know, we also got signed up for if you put your phone number in, they signed us up for SMS texting and like these higher rates. We saw some of that. Just anytime you give your PII, no real good can come of it. So
well, that's sort of my point is that. You know, losing your PII is a scary thing, and I would like to understand what does it really mean, and I'd like to understand how much money is being made off that PII. I mean,
For this particular
scam part, that's nothing.
Yeah, for this particular scam, we didn't see, like, I was trying to see in the payouts, they're not getting, like, super rich. What they're doing with the PII, just my understanding, someone may have a better answer, is just sending it to other marketers. So, for example, one of the things that we saw happen to us was we got signed up for, expensive mobile texting that we never signed up for. Like, if you look at my phone that I was using, I got all these kind of, different
offers. I guess I just assume that selling somebody's address to somebody else for spam is not, you're not making lots.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely not getting super rich, I try to say.
I have some more comments, but I'll let
you know. Sure, Chris.
Yeah, so, I was mostly interested in your perspective from signing up from the affiliate programs.
Okay, sure.
Do you know what, when they give you a, they give you a link and an affiliate ID and all the stuff you need to advertise, they tell you what you're advertising?
You can pick your offers, that's one thing. And then when you actually go to their sites, you can see all their offers. So for example, if you're interested in the content locking YouTube, you can find all of those. If you're interested in like the survey or sweepstakes, you can find those. So they give you some options, but you're free to kind of create your own as well. So you could take some of their code and put up to your website and try to direct the traffic to your website so they'll click on.
So I guess, did it seem like the affiliates would know that they are basically?
Yeah, that's a good question. We think that, on some extent, they have to know, but maybe they don't know to the extent. Because there's some, like CPA Leads is like one of the fastest growing actually, small companies. So they may not know that they're doing this kind of thing, but my assumption is that they are aware.
Well, they know.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I thought it was very fun research. Thank you for that. You had a pretty high percentage of links that don't work, broken links.
Yeah.
50%,
yeah.
I think.
Yep,
that's good. But at the same time, most of the URLs seem to be alive for around 9 months. What causes that discrepancy there?
Yeah, exactly. That's just the fact that there's a limitation in the way we did this experiment, the manual effort. So sometimes when I saw the spam feed, just because I was literally like running Wireshark on one monitor and clicking and going through, filling out my information, sometimes when I got to a URL later down on the list, it had basically been taken down or didn't work any longer.
So one of the main focuses for future work, in fact, we have, like I said, we have research assistants helping us probably right now, doing some automation to try to, as soon as you see the link,
sure,
click it or basically fill out the form kind of automatically. What we did see was with the help with the crawler, the Python crawler, it can actually go to all these URLs and take a picture, a screenshot. Yeah. So we could go back and kind of see what it did look like, but basically it just got taken down because we weren't acting fast enough.
Gotcha, thank you.
So on your carbon dating,
yep.
Great term. I'm not sure I quite followed your discussion of it. I mean, it's not like an axiom that these numbers always go up by one. That was established in that paper for that particular data. I mean, it's plausible, but there are steps one should take to see whether it's the case, such as you know, very closely spaced interactions to see if the counter really goes up.
That's right. Exactly. I think that was one of the good comments that we got from the reviewer. We just noticed this phenomenon because I joined a few kind of quickly.
Yeah, okay.
And so we did see it. I think if you want me at the break, I can show you like a slide that actually shows my my ID that I received, and like I did it like an hour later, not even an hour later, a few minutes later, and I got like another one that was like 10 higher. So at least with Max Bounty, which is what our concrete example was based on, there definitely seems to be just increasing one.
Well, there's monotone and there's increasing by one. Yeah. So if you go to the, what was the paper?
It was by Chris, you mean?
Show me the mic.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a section discussing the methodological issues.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's what we tried to copy.
But one minute stick and incremented by two.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And sort of related to that, I was trying to, so what is the sense of how big the sector is? I didn't really.
It's of all the spam like scams out there, I think it's like a small percentage, but we're seeing a lot more of it just by virtue of people using Facebook and people are monetizing it. I'm not sure like the exact like number or percentage, but all of these affiliate networks that we saw, if you go to their site, they definitely are trying to advertise these offers. And I said before, CPA Leads is one of the fastest growing companies.
Do you have any insight into conversion rate?
Yeah, we have this, I think, what I'm on right now.
They make claims about their
actual
conversion.
What are they claiming?
This 2% offer. Yeah, this is. Oh, 2%? Sorry, it's not up anymore. Yeah, sorry. Yeah 2%. Yeah, so we have this conversion rate. These are just two picked at random. Probably not a large sample size, but about 2-3%.
Thanks.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, Peter.